Last November, Ségolène Royal became the first female presidential candidate from a major party in France's history. But in the past few months, her campaign has hit some serious snags. Joining me now from Paris to discuss the French presidential race is Matthew Kaminski. He's the editor of the Wall Street Journal Europe's op-ed page. I'm very pleased to welcome him to this month's Backstory. Hello.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Ségolène Royal seemed to be doing well in the polls through December and January, but now they have her 6 to 10 percentage points behind her main opponent, Nicolas Sarkozy. What happened?
Well, she started off so well. I think what happened was that she abandoned the things that got her to the top of those polls in November when she won the Socialist Party primary. One of those things, I think, was that she has stopped pushing a very different and fresh agenda. She's no longer questioning sort of taboos, both on the French right and on the French left. But I think what really hurt her as well was that there was a series of gaffes. They were all small. There was something she said in Lebanon, another unfortunate thing she said about Quebec and in China. But added up, it reinforced a suspicion that many French people have about her, which is that she's inexperienced, that her campaign team is a bit disorganized, and that she may not be ready for this job.
Last night, she appeared on French television to answer the questions of 100 citizens, and some were billing it as a moment of truth, a last chance to salvage her campaign. So how did she do?
She actually did fairly well. I think that sort of format plays to her strengths. She's pretty natural in a room full of regular French voters. In fact, her whole campaign in the fall was built around something which she called part of story democracy, that she would get the opinions of regular French people before she put together her policies. You know, she came off very well. There are almost 10 million people who were one time tuned into that show, which is, I think it was almost a third of the French viewing public.
A larger audience than Sarkozy had for a similar program 2 weeks ago.
It was, but he was the first one to go on the show. And people know much more about Nicolas Sarkozy. He's been in government for years. He's very visible. She's a bit of an unknown quantity. And her speech about 10 days ago, where she announced her presidential pact, which was then billed as a great moment of truth, kind of flopped. It didn't move the polls at all. I'm not sure whether she's going to get a jump, whether this is going to help her in the polls. But she certainly did better than people thought she would.
Well, the first round. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And it's still a long campaign. It was still about 9 weeks to go. So the election is not over yet. But she certainly needs to turn things around because she's been in a bit of a free fall in the last few weeks.
In fact, that's what I was going to say. The first round of voting isn't until April 22nd. So she does have plenty of time. But it's interesting that she's having these problems, and yet she was one of six candidates for the Socialist Party's nomination for this election, and she got 60% of the vote.
She did, and she is very popular among the French socialists, but she's popular because she's not a typical socialist. She ran against her party. I think one of the ways she's gone wrong earlier this year is that as the gaffes have added up and as the problems have in her campaign team have come into the open, there are a lot of questions as well about her partner, who is François Hollande, who is the head of the Socialist Party. She's reverted back to old-style socialist rhetoric about we need to spend more money on social problems. And I think that's people don't want the same old socialist. They want someone different. The same reason that Sarkozy is running against his own party, effectively. He's running against the sitting president, Jacques Chirac, in whose government he served for nearly 5 years.
So we have this odd situation where both candidates were running against their own parties. And in her case, she's running against the party that is run by the man she lives with, François Hollande. They have 4 children together, and that doesn't seem to be a problem in France. They're not married. It sure would be a big problem in the United States.
No, certainly not. I mean, the fact that they're not married is not a problem here. But this relationship is becoming a problem for her because there are questions about what the relationship is really like, that they clearly have 4 children together, but are they living together? Are they really together? I mean, with Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, at least Americans know that they're a political partnership. But there are suggestions that there are great tensions behind the scenes, that François Hollande himself had ambitions of running for the top office, that he has split ways with Ségolène Royal personally, but is still on board with her campaign. And there was a poll recently in France that I think about 65% of the French said that they don't really know what this couple is really about. And I think that is one of the questions she failed to address last night. She sort of brushed it off, saying, oh, it's none of your business, and I let my man, François Hollande, have his freedom, and, you know, our relationship should not be a campaign issue. But it's become a bit of a campaign issue.
Is her being a woman a help or a hindrance in this campaign?
I think it's certainly been a help. I mean, that's actually been her main selling point, especially in the fall, that I am different. Look at me. I am a woman. And
a very attractive woman, and pictures
absolutely.
Of her in bikinis have been published.
Exactly. I think she very much played on that. But after her win in the socialist primary, she failed to build on that impression. That was she was new, and people wanted to know more about who she really is. And this is where she's really stumbled.
Well,
she's not very experienced, and she's never had a top government job, and she's come a bit out of the blue into this campaign.
She's announced a campaign shakeup today. She's reshuffling her staff, I guess because they were giving her bad advice, at least as far as she was concerned. She also is running as the president of the Poitou-Charente region in the west of France. That's kind of like, what is that, like being a regional governor?
It's a bit like being a governor, but France, unlike the U.S., does not have a federal system. It's a very centralized country. So you have much less power, and you also have much more time to run national campaign. In France also, politicians tend to hold several different offices at the same time. But, you know, she came into prominence in France because 2 years ago, she defeated the sitting prime minister for the governorship of down in Poitiers. And that's why she emerged as this kind of rising socialist star. And it's really the first time. I mean, I think the one thing you have to give her credit for is that she is arguably the first self-made politician in France. You know, the past four French presidents have come out of the party system, have really been insiders. And she's run this as an outsider, and she's not won yet, but she's gotten very far, and much farther than people thought that she would get. Now, whether she's going to do very well in the April 1st round, I'm not sure. I mean, there are now some threats that she may not even get through to the second round if the centrist candidate named François Bayrou captures more of the votes from her party who are not happy so far with her.
My guest is Matthew Kaminsky, editor of the Wall Street Journal Europe's op-ed page, and we're talking about the French presidential election. Well, you mentioned that you can hold more than one office at the same time. Didn't Jacques Chirac ask Nicolas Sarkozy to choose between pursuing more power in the party and being a cabinet minister because he suggested it might be seen as a conflict of interest? What's happened? Obviously, he's gotten away with it, hasn't he?
Well, Jacques Chirac hates Nicolas Sarkozy almost openly, and the feeling is mutual. But Jacques Chirac also needed Nicolas Sarkozy to come back into government in mid-2005 after the huge embarrassment of the referendum loss over the EU constitution. Jacques Chirac put forward the constitution. It was voted down, and that vote was seen as a referendum on Jacques Chirac himself, and Nicolas Sarkozy happens to be the most popular man in his party, so he had to bring him back into government after having forced him out 6 months before, saying that he had to choose between the party and the government. I mean, there are many soap operas playing out in French politics, and the relationship between the sitting president, who is most likely going to retire, Jacques Chirac, and Nicolas Sarkozy is just one of them.
Well, we have an odd situation here because Sarkozy, who is seen as very much the conservative candidate, is also a big supporter, as you say, of the EU constitution. On the other hand, some people might remember his comments during the immigrant rioting that took place across France in the fall of 2005 when he promised to eradicate the gangrene from the suburbs and clear out the scum. So is he also just the law and order campaign, the candidate here?
Sarkozy is definitely a law and order guy. in the same way, more so in the Rudy Giuliani mold and not the Jean-Marie Le Pen mold, who is the extreme far-right candidate in France, always played that card as well. Nicolas Sarkozy is not, you cannot say that he has a coherent political ideology, that he's sort of, I think he's sort of is happy to pick and choose from things. He says he's a pragmatist. He's a man who gets things done. And certainly on law and order, and even that comment when he said the people rioting are scum, you know, that a lot of people were appalled by this, but there were polls done afterwards that said the majority of the French agreed with him. This was not an unpopular thing to say.
A member of Royale's campaign recently called Sarkozy an American neoconservative with a French passport, but he's expressed admiration for both Margaret Thatcher and Tony Blair.
He has, and he very much likes Tony Blair, and they're supposed to be friends. I think there's two things going on here. One, Sarkozy looks at what Jacques Chirac does and does the opposite. Jacques Chirac is against the Iraq War, is against George Bush, doesn't like Thatcher and Blair. So Nicolas Sarkozy is going to like all those things, except for the Iraq War, which he's still against. But the other thing, I think his main idea is he wants to shake up France in the same way that Margaret Thatcher and Tony Blair have shaken up Britain. In his campaign speeches, he talks a lot about how France has fallen behind its European neighbors, about how, look at all those French people who go to New York and to London, young people who find good jobs over there because they don't have good jobs here. And he says that France needs to be woken up from its decades-long sort of nap, where it's rested on its laurels, thought that its welfare system is just fine and could keep France competitive. I think that's where he finds inspiration from those politicians. He is not a Thatcherite, and I'm not even sure he's a Blairite in the sense that Blair has continued, at least on the economic front, Thatcher's policies in the UK.
Well, is he likely to draw some voters away from Le Pen, or will Le Pen eat into Sarkozy's possible support?
You can never tell with Le Pen, but I think Le Pen's great moment was in 2002 when he finished second.
Shocking Sarkozy, everyone.
Exactly. Sarkozy spent the early part of this campaign shoring up the right, and he was very much talking the sort of the tough talk, tough love on crime in the suburbs, cleaning up France, and was the law and order candidate. As he's become the main candidate for the right, and as he thinks that base is secure, he is now moving to the center. I don't think Le Pen is going to be the great surprise of this year. I think he's 79 years old. In the recent debates, he's not seemed to be in top form. There's a third candidate I mentioned earlier, this guy Francois Bayrou, who's a centrist, and he's stealing away votes, but he's stealing away votes more from Ségolène Royal than from Nicolas Sarkozy.
In fact, he's within 6 points of Royal. Well, France's unemployment rate is 8.6%. Its public debt is 65% of the GDP. And I wonder who that hurts more, the socialists who have been out of power, but who perhaps instituted some of the rules that have led to this situation, or the conservatives who have been running the country for quite a while now.
Well, it's not a pretty picture, and you would think that the incumbents would be the one to pay the price for this. But that's the sort of one of the great interesting and unusual things about French politics, that Nicolas Sarkozy, even though he's been in government, he was the finance minister for only about 6 months, but he's been part of the government that's overseen this. But he's been very critical of the government's economic policies and has been at the same time been able to not be seen as responsible for them. And for the socialists, the problem is that the socialists were in power from 97 to 2002. Their idea is the 35-hour week, but their bigger problem for the socialists is they haven't, unlike almost every other mainstream left-wing party in Europe in the last 10 years, they haven't revolutionized themselves. They haven't really embraced Tony Blair-like policies. They haven't really been able to put forward any fresh ideas for how to fix this.
Well, Royal recently announced a 100-point platform, which included raising the minimum wage, raising pensions, renationalizing the electric and gas companies.
Exactly, the same old ideas, yeah. And the French didn't fall for it because there were polls done the next day saying, how is she going to pay for this? And 71%, I think, of the French said she did not put forward a realistic platform and that France could not afford this anymore.
So is this her? Is she really just messing up, or is Sarkozy the better politician of the two?
Well, Sarkozy is certainly the more experienced politician. And judging by the last 2 months, you would say that experience has really shown. Looking at Ségolène Royal's platform, you suspect that the Socialist Party establishment really got their hands on her speech, because a lot of the interesting ideas she was pushing, you know, she was the woman who was saying that France must come to terms with globalization. She was questioning the wisdom of the 35-hour week. And for an American, that doesn't really sound that revolutionary, but for the French, and certainly for the French left, that is fairly revolutionary. And she's all but abandoned that sort of rhetoric.
What about their public images? She as a more compassionate person, he as someone who's rather clever with a strong authoritarian streak.
Exactly. I think the French have had some experience with men from who were born outside France with strong authoritarian streaks. Well, you know, they both make the French anxious, and that comes through with polls too. The French are afraid of Nicolas Sarkozy because he's so energetic and a bit unpredictable and a bit pushy and a bit authoritarian, and they're afraid of Ségolène Royal because she is green and they don't know much about her. And there was a theory that this was the moment maybe that Jacques Chirac could kind of step in and be the candidate of the center. The problem is Jacques Chirac, that in one recent poll, only 2% of the French voters actually want him to run for office again. So,
and he's been ill recently, hasn't he?
He has. He I think he had a stroke-like incident. It's not really clear what it was. He seems to be in better form now in the last few months, but he's been making clear or sending signals in recent days that he is going to step down. And looking at the polls, that would be the wise thing for him to do.
Well, the only thing that has helped him in the polls is the revelations that he's had mistresses.
Well, that's an old story, but, you know, the French are, but they are interested in these things. One of the biggest best-selling books in France recently was a book about the sex lives of their politicians, going back to De Gaulle all the way through Chirac and the current lot.
And works in the United States, too, to opposite effect.
Anyway, people are curious about their political leaders, and they want to know more, even in France, although they don't. It certainly doesn't hurt you to have had a mistress.
Matthew Kaminsky is the editor of the Wall Street Journal Europe's op-ed page. Thank you so much for talking with us today for this month's backstory.
Thank you.